Hey, it's Michael and Callum from 5 Seconds of Summer. We're hanging out with Aaron Rich.
Michael, Callum, 5 Seconds of Summer.
Yes.
Guys, thank you so much for inviting me backstage here at Festival Hall, Melbourne, Australia. I mean, this is an iconic music venue. And the fact that John Lennon has performed on this stage before, how are you guys feeling?
We're feeling good. Apparently, are they knocking this place down?
Yeah, I know. It's
oh, dude, that's horrible.
We tried to save it, but the investors didn't want to buy it.
Oh, well, anyway, off that note, we're feeling really good. We're feeling really confident about the show that we've put together. It's definitely the best set we have created in, I think, our whole entire career. So we're feeling really excited to play.
It must be a really cool feeling, the fact that I just walked outside this venue and there's a line, no joke, I don't know if you've been out yet, that is going to the main road. I'm like, you know, it's got to be at least 100, 200 meters of just fans waiting to get in to see a show tonight. How does that feel?
I mean, ever since we started, it's just always been about being grateful for us and always just like recognizing how blessed we are to be able to like create something that is a form of art, and to have this many people come out and want to hear it and, you know, see us. And, you know, so it's never about like making it in a sense. It's more just about like, you know, like continuing to do what's right, you know, and that was why, you know, taking like a year or a year and a half off of touring was so hard for us, because, you know, we like the type of band that we are, we're meant to be out on the road. We're meant to be out seeing people. We're meant to be performing. And you know, it's good to be back, really.
We are backstage here at Festival Hall, 5 Seconds of Summer, about to hit the stage tonight. I have to ask, backstage rituals, do you have any? Do you have something crazy, that you like something sentimental that you take along in the dresser room that is with
I have,
you?
We have, this is going to sound super lame, but we have one of our crew members, she has like a little like bag of, and within it is like a bunch of different one word readings or something of like just like a word to like reflect your day. And I always take one. Today mine was communication. So
yeah, it's very relative.
Yeah,
to what
I guess it's
now.
I'm communicating now. Yeah. So that's kind of my ritual, I guess.
Have you got one, Callum?
Usually in Australia we play a lot of Australian music and shots, of course, just to loosen up the old gears. We play a lot of Australian music backstage. And there's always a lot of family floating around as well. So generally, we try to keep backstage pretty healthy or pretty positive before we go on stage.
I must admit, it's not what I was expecting. I was expecting, you know, like crazy parties or
no, man.
Very tame fights.
You know? You got to do what you got to do.
Maybe when the job's done.
Yeah.
When the job's done, you can
then you
let
can
loose
let your hair down and you can take some holidays, take some bit of vacation.
Yeah, exactly.
On touring and stuff, have you guys come across anything outrageous, something where you go like, well, man, did this just really happen? It could be on the stage.
All right.
Crowd.
Well, I'll say 2 nights ago in Brisbane, we were in the middle of a song, and the speakers coming out the front. So, I mean, I don't know if there's anyone out there who's like an audio engineer, but the first 24 channels that were being put to the desk out the front cut out. So basically, it just everything started sounding like crap all at once, and it was like the drums weren't on, the bass wasn't on, one of my guitar lines weren't on. I don't know why both weren't, and so we basically had to get to the end of that song with it just like everyone in the crowd was just looking around like, why does this sound so bad? And then we get to the end of the song and then we just like turn the lights off and we just walked off stage. And then they had to fix what was wrong with the speakers. And it took like 10, 15 minutes. And they were like, I watched videos of people that were like videoing it happening and they were like, is the show over? like, do we get our money back?
So when I went through a little bit of a band phase in school, and it was myself and the lead guitarist. We would be always fighting. So I was the one that thought like my shit didn't stink and I was the best, and that's where my my arguments were coming from. And he just thought I sucked, which I did. That's why I stopped doing it.
Fair enough. You know, and the guy had a point, you know? I'm just kidding.
So in your band, in 5 Seconds of Summer, who are the ones that clash in the band? Or is it just all of you?
we just all clash. But in saying that, Michael and Ashton probably have, they probably clash the most.
Okay.
I'd say. Yeah. Would you agree?
I'd agree, yeah. And it's because we're both the oldest. That's how I see it. Is we're both like the big brothers.
What's the most outrageous thing that you've bought? So let's maybe flash back to She Looks So Perfect came out, first massive number one hit in Australia and around the world. The royalties check came in. What was that crazy thing? You knew, you know what? I'm going to treat myself. It could be a car.
So what?
House,
it didn't,
maybe.
Didn't, the royalty check must have got lost somewhere. I've, unless it came very late.
You know what I like to get?
Yeah.
I like to get Calvin Klein underwear.
Yeah. It's ball out.
I ball out on some quality touring underwear.
Yep. Let's go back to number ones. So Youngblood spent 8 weeks on top of the charts here in Oz. How does that feel? Like that's a really cool, in your home country, that's must be a really cool feeling to have a number one song in our charts for 8 weeks.
Yeah, I think it's our greatest achievement yet, and to be nearly 7 or 8 years into the band's career and feel like, you know, you're just only beginning, especially as you were saying, in Australia, which where we're from, feels totally rejuvenating for this band. You know, we're looking onto bigger and better things for the future. So we're very grateful and very proud of.
Correct me if I'm wrong. It's taken a couple of years to put together. It's taken a little while.
I think we kind of needed to process what was like. We needed to process our lives pretty much after 2016 because. Sure. Like, by the time 2016 hit, we'd been touring for, 6 years.
Yeah.
Just straight. So, we needed to, you know, just live lives. You know, there was only so much music that we could write without growing up and being adults, you know? So, I think that we were all, you know, aware of that. And I mean, you know, it wasn't even that we took really that much time off. We took 3 months to ourselves, and then we started writing, for Youngblood in January of 2017, but it was more about, it took us a long time to get the album. You know, it wasn't like we just took a bunch of time off and then wrote an album. It was like we spent the entirety of 2017 making an album. And I think that was just due to us, like, you know, essentially just making an album as adults and seeing what that process is like. And you know, now that we've done that, I don't think that there's going to be another extended break for 5 Seconds of Summer because, you know, self-titled and Sounds Good, Feels Good we made when we were teens, and now, you know, we're adults, and from now on out, I'd say that 5 Seconds of Summer have really, like, defined the direction of where we're headed, you know, for our future.
Basing yourselves in LA, I mean, there's so many people that you must come across. Have you came across anybody that was like a childhood idol and you've gone, had maybe a bit of a fangirl moment?
There's definitely, the first thing that comes to my mind is I went to see Aerosmith play.
Okay.
And I look over to my left and Dave Grohl's there, but his hair is like over his eyes and he's air drumming. And I'm like, who the f*** is that guy air drumming? I'm like, and then he like sweeps back his beautiful luscious hair and it's Dave Grohl, and I'm like, holy shit, that's Dave Grohl. And then backstage he was like, well, there's like a green room area and it has a pool table in it, and he goes to one of John Feldman, who we've worked with on a lot of our albums, he goes, $5 if you make this shot. And then John Feldman's like, all right. So John takes a shot and he misses it, and he's like, $5. And then John Feldman gave him $5. And I was like, is Dave going to actually take the $5? And he took the $5.
But respect, you know?
And he walked away.
Yeah.
No, I love that. You know, if he sets a goal and he's like, $5 if you make that shot, and you say, okay. And you know, that just shows that if he would have made that shot, Dave Grohl would have given John Feldman $5.
Did you get a chance to talk to Dave?
I did, and I was totally speechless.
Yeah.
I couldn't say anything.
Did you say one word?
I said hi. Oh, nice. I'm Callum.
Nailed it.
Guys, thank you so much for hanging out. We're here at Festival Hall, 5 Seconds of Summer Play in Melbourne tonight. While you're in Melbourne, is there something that you love about Melbourne? Is there a place in town that you know you have to go to or try and make an effort to go to while you're here?
Usually there's around like Collins Street or what's the other street called?
Chapel Street.
There's like a lot of street art take a wander down to and try and check out, but there's
AC/DC Lane as well.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Well, I haven't seen that.
Oh, you sounds man, cool. You gotta take a trip. You gotta definitely
taking a trip.
Yeah, yeah. But everywhere's great in Melbourne. We really love staying here and playing here. So,
Callum Michael, thank you so much for hanging out with me today and inviting me backstage at this iconic venue, guys. Kill it tonight. I know you will. You don't need me to tell you that.
thank you
so
much.
Thanks so much for hanging out, guys.
Thanks
so much for having
us. Appreciate it.